Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Andrew Tempty, the President and Global Head of Corporate Learning, Kaplan North America, the Global Educational Services Company. And Dr. Tempty, thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me.
And of course, you're certainly welcome. Looking forward to hearing from you today. So for starters, how do you identify and curtail organizational entropy? Let's start there.
Yeah, so, you know, entropy is this concept of everything's always falling apart. It's a physical property of the world. And, you know, within organizations, it's really hard to identify things that are falling apart because of the incentive systems that we have around us, where individuals have the incentive to hide the things that are not going to plan or are not going well. So usually you find out that things are falling apart after they've really started to evidence themselves. So what we've done is really adopt the tenets of continuous improvement. Now, some people call that lean, and lean has gotten a bad name, especially in service industries over the years, because people, you know, they equate lean with job losses and job cuts. But that's not what continuous improvement is. You know, it's all about identifying and minimizing waste, respecting your people, and having a maniacal focus on your customers. So, you know, once as a business you adopt those principles and adopt the visual management tools that show the good, bad, and the ugly within each of your departments, then transparency is evident, and nothing is hidden in desk drawers anymore. It becomes more of a natural state for people to share those things that are not going well along with the things that are going well.
Definitely a great place to get this conversation underway here today. Now, taking that further, how can leaders facilitate a culture of trust, which is so important?
Yeah, trust is the name of the game these days. And for me, it was all about communication, creating clarity, and really making sure that that everybody understood what the North Star, or, you know, what direction we were going in. So, you know, we would start with the long range planning process, make sure that that was really tight, that our mission and our vision and our North Star was clearly identified. Build a great long-range plan around that, and then the annual planning cycle, and budget cycles, which frankly most people put way too much of their time on the annual planning cycle and a lot less time on the long-range planning. So that, you know, that combination of cascades from the North Star to the long-range to the annual planning. That's how that clarity is created. And then the next part, which is just really difficult for most leaders to execute on, is to communicate, you know, in many different ways, almost until it hurts that you said the same thing over and over and over again. Once everybody knows where you're going, and you're consistent and persistent in meeting those objectives, and you're not kind of swinging everybody all over the place with changing objectives and changing goals, that's one of the key ingredients to build trust in that culture of trust in the organization.
Now, Dr. Tempty, another question along these lines. How can leaders realize the benefits of diverse organization by fostering a culture that encourages everyone to bring their whole self to work? I'm sure listeners would appreciate your input on that.
Yeah. So, you know, the lines, especially during the pandemic, the lines between life and work have become massively blurred, right? My my commute into the office was a total of 15 steps from the bedroom into the into the home office, and many people had that same thing happen to them. So bringing our whole selves to work is really one of the key trends that we're seeing, because as human beings, what do we have to bring to work but our human selves, especially in a world where computers are starting to think at low cognitive levels but ever increasing cognitive levels. So the human skill that the communication that we talked about before, critical thinking, teamwork, and concepts like empathy and having empathy for both your team members and your coworkers, those are some of the keys to the future world of work. So what leaders can do is to start hiring people that don't look like them, physically, don't think like them mentally. I've fallen into that trap before in my 30 plus year career, thinking that I had to hire people that thought like me. And I was really missing a great deal of the rich tapestry and the rich experience, human experience that I really wasn't getting, because everybody talked like me, looked like me, and we're also monetarily and economically, we've got the research now to back it up that hiring people that will ultimately surpass you, creating a healthy work environment, leading and managing with empathy, and allowing people to bring their whole selves to work, not only builds great teams, but leads to great outcomes and results.
Really some fantastic information so far. Really appreciate your input there on that last question as well. Today we're joined by Dr. Andrew Tempty, President and Global Head of Corporate Learning at Kaplan North America, the global educational services company. And he's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, Dr. Tempty, continuing on, how can embarking on a continuous improvement journey result in more balanced individuals, teams, and organizations? Who wouldn't want that?
Yeah, so if we go back to those three tenets of continuous improvement, identifying and minimizing waste, respecting your people, and having a maniacal focus on your customer, a lot of people try to make continuous improvement a lot more complicated and a lot more mysterious than it really needs to be. So if we take that second component of the respect for people, and then you blow that up into the other key to organizational success, which is creating a healthy organization. So the concept of organizational health just dovetails right in with a continuous improvement journey in that respect for people component. That's where things really shine. So you've got you've created that North Star, you've created that clarity, you've communicated with your teams, you're leading with empathy, and you have the kind of operational structures, the visual management systems to bookend all of that. Then that transparency really starts to shine, so that individuals, they know what their goals are and how their goals fit with the team goals, and they know how the team goals fit with the group goals, and all the way up and down the chain. So it's chain. So goals are definitely aligned, and also with that clarity, people and teams know what other functional areas of the business are doing. So many times, people are in corporations with blinders on and only know what their own team is doing, and really don't know what the rest of the organization is up to. And again, you can have a much more rich experience when that information is shared across teams, and folks know what the good, bad, and the ugly is not only within their own team, but also in other teams so that they can say, hey, I know how to solve that challenge and help out in ways that they might not have been able to had there not been that clarity and that transparency and in that healthy organization.
Good stuff there. And let's circle back to the concept of organizational trust. What other ingredients are essential for maintaining trust over time?
Yeah, so this is now the key ingredient, which is accountability. Trust is like a ladder, right? You take single steps up the rungs of the ladder, and if you think about trust as a ladder, you can also, most of your listeners have experienced this directly. When you miss a step, you don't just miss one step on the ladder. You go all the way back down to the bottom of the ladder, and you have to take steps one step at a time back up. But if we've got those visual management systems, and we've got those goals set, and we have the accountability frameworks in place, so that everybody knows what everybody else is doing, what the handoffs are, what the deliverables are, and how both information and product flows throughout the organization, then accountability is much easier to establish. And if team members know that that groups that drop the ball are going to be held accountable for missing their objectives, in a empathetic, respectful fashion. Nobody needs to be running around with their hair on fire. Nobody needs to be yelling at anybody else. That's not what I mean by accountability. But if, if those goals and incentive structures are built in an appropriate fashion, then you get the accountability, which helps build the trust, which then accountability comes back into play and helps build the trust. You're able to jointly walk up that ladder of trust in a much more seamless fashion.
Yeah, accountability. I could see where that would be the key ingredient there. And again, Dr. Tempty, really appreciate your visit with us here today and all the insight and information shared as well. As we conclude, any closing thoughts, a final word, a tip, or anything else you'd like to add as we do conclude today?
Well, just that, new leaders and existing leaders, I'll get on my soapbox here for just a second, which is we have a huge upskilling and reskilling challenge in front of us. As I mentioned before, we've got computers that are thinking at low but ever increasing cognitive levels, taking parts of our jobs, and we as humans are going to be integral to the world of work. As a business leader, your people are your most valuable assets. So make sure that your people don't get left behind in the future world of work, and ensure that you put very solid retraining, upskilling, reskilling opportunities in front of your people, because lifelong learning is another key to staying both active in the world of work and relevant in the world of work.
Certainly the perfect place to conclude things here today. Really appreciate those concluding remarks and advice as well. I'm sure listeners want to know how they could get more information on Kaplan, yourself, as well as your book. Where is the best place online to do so?
Well, the website is kaplan.com. You can learn everything you want to know about Kaplan. And your listeners can find me on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram and Twitter. Haven't quite gotten to TikTok yet. Don't know if I will. But those four places for sure. You can find me, talking and sharing advice on a routine basis. And I've also got a book called The Balancing Act that came out in early April. You can pick that up on Amazon or wherever books are sold.
Well, it sounds like you've got the bases covered. Dr. Tempty, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
All right, you take care of yourself.
And we'll certainly give it our best shot. We've been speaking with Dr. Andrew Tempty, the President and Global Head of Corporate Learning at Kaplan North America, the global educational services company. And for all the details, visit Kaplan.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.